It was just a few months ago that an unusually cold start to winter saw electricity prices skyrocket and led to the unprecedented decision to suspend the entire wholesale energy spot market. Now, key market regulators are warning the perfect storm, which caused that chaos, is here to stay for at least the next few years. The annual State of the Energy Market report says while the cost of energy is rising, inflation will also push up the cost of the network investments needed to transition the grid to renewables. Anna Collier is the chair of the Energy Security Board and she joins you now. Anna, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Energy is one of the big cost increases Australians in the eastern and southern states have had to contend with this year. How much are prices likely to go up by over the next 12 months?
That's something that the Australian Energy Regulator will be looking at when they consider the revised default market offer, which they set each year. So what we know is that we've seen significant increases in global commodity prices, which have fed through to our domestic energy prices, and also economic factors that are affecting cost of living across the board, such as inflation, interest rates, supply chain issues, workforce issues will continue to also impact energy. So we're very conscious of customers in this circumstance. We're really conscious of the affordability issues that energy customers are facing. And in the reform work that we're doing at the Energy Security Board, we're looking to ensure that we keep a real laser-like focus on those costs at all times.
So how much is inflation adding to the costs of network investments, and how will you determine how much of that additional cost is passed on to consumers?
Again, these are matters for the Australian Energy Regulator, who regulates network revenues. So they've recently released a number of determinations which set how much the networks are able to charge customers. So they take into account many different factors, which include inflation. They also include the investments that the networks are making. And they really, really focus on making sure that all of those investments are efficient and prudent, and that we're keeping costs down for customers while facilitating what we know is needed, is investment to support the transition to clean energy.
What kind of overall investments are you factoring in terms of the speed of transitioning the grid next year?
So when we look at probably 10 years is a better time frame to think about investments, but in this case, AEMO, through its integrated system plan, so AEMO, of course, is the market operator, and they are continually planning and updating their plan for how we best transition to a renewable system. They're looking at $14 billion worth of transmission investment over that 10-year period. So it's obviously critical that as we make those investments, we're making sure that we're getting the right investment in the right place, and then we get the biggest bang for buck. And so through work that the Energy Security Board is doing and the Australian Energy Market Commission, we're really focused on reforms that will are designed to achieve just that.
The soaring cost of gas was a key factor in the overall increases in the cost of energy this year, and the Federal Resources Minister is threatening to impose price caps and export restrictions on East Coast gas producers if they don't find a way to address supply shortfalls and those rising costs. Are you expecting the cost of gas to fall?
The current outlook for the global cost of gas is to remain at those levels. So that's something that's obviously really important for us to be considering and addressing in how that translates to the Australian market. And that's the work that the Commonwealth Government is doing. And we've also seen reports from the market operator and the ACCC in relation to whether we'll have the gas that we need for next year, and a lot of work being done around that. So a lot of the reforms that came out of the Energy Ministers meeting in August were really directed at, from our perspective, making sure that we have the right tools in place so that the market operator has tools so that we have that secure and reliable supply of gas in addition to the tools that we've already had for electricity. So it's been really highlighted that this year, that kind of connection between electricity and gas, and how important that will be as we transition to renewables and try and keep those costs down for customers and keep reliable supply.
The AER will also launch its first ever consumer vulnerability strategy in October. Take me through that strategy and the purpose of it.
Well, that's actually something that the AER has been working on and will be great for them to talk to. It's recognising the importance of ensuring that vulnerable customers are given all the support that they need, particularly through the energy transition, but just generally given electricity and gas supply today. Although gas will be transitioning to electricity, as we've seen a number of jurisdictions announce, but it's an essential service. So we want to make sure that vulnerable customers have access to that service. The AER has been doing a lot of work and has been developing a strategy that's directed at doing that, and will be best placed to talk to you about that.
The Queensland government has announced an ambitious plan to overhaul their energy use and phase out fossil fuels. The government says it will ultimately bring down household power bills. But will the cost of the transition increase bills in the short term?
So the first thing is it's great to see all of the different state governments really leaning into the transition and developing these really coordinated, carefully thought through plans as to how each of them want to transition their respective parts of the system. So we welcome the attention of governments in this regard. In terms of the cost of living, as I said earlier, there's the factors that are currently affecting affordability of energy prices are global commodity prices, as well as these broader economic factors. And in fact, the transition to renewable energy is helps to take us away from our reliance on fossil fuels and global commodity prices. So it actually, over that longer term, will reduce those costs. We do need a lot of investment in the short term, and that's why it's really important that we focus on making sure that investment is as efficient, as well-directed as possible, and that's what our reforms are looking at. But we're also seeing support from government in this regard, so that that helps with the cost. So, for example, the federal government's Rewiring the Nation program will support transmission investment and that being delivered at the lowest possible cost to customers. So I think, as you can tell from all the different parties that I've mentioned already, all of us are really focused on managing the transition at lowest cost to customers and incredibly mindful of affordability issues and the cost of living pressure that customers are under right now.
There are also reports this morning that AGL will bring forward the closure of the Loy Yang power plant to 2035, and that's been reported in the Herald Sun this morning. What kind of challenges does that present the national energy market as a whole?
Well, this is another example of what we've been seeing and what we've been saying, which is that we do think that the retirement of coal will continue to accelerate, because the impact on their business model and also that desire to move towards a renewable future. So this is why we need the new investment in the new assets, both renewable, firming and transmission, to come on as quickly as possible so that we don't experience gaps. So again, look at the Victorian plan in relation to storage, which was announced earlier in the week. The state governments are really focused on getting that investment in as quickly as possible. And that's also been the basis of a lot of work that's been done through the Energy Security Board to ensure national reforms also support that investment.
And I want to get your commentary on the timing of all of this. So the Queensland announcement, a really dramatic move to renewables for the Queensland economy, and at the same time, the bringing forward of the end of the Loy Yang power plant. Are we now seeing an acceleration in our shift to a new energy normal?
I think that's right. And I think what we've seen over the last, 12 to 18 months is all of our governments really moving into leaning into net zero, developing these really concrete plans. I think actually we've seen industry and customers for a while sort of heading in this direction. And I often say that I think customers have led the move to renewables through their own asset investment in, rooftop solar, for example, and then large customers have invested in through their power purchase purchasing decisions through the investment in larger renewables. And now we can really see that the those big players, the coal players who've been in, you know, supported our energy system for many, many years, have now got to the point where they are making their retirement plans and working out what they want to do next with their assets and opportunities. So, yes, I think we've got to this tipping point where we're all heading in the same direction and it's going to accelerate. And the most important thing for us is to make sure that that all happens in a way that delivers best overall outcomes for customers. So keep the energy affordable, make sure it stays reliable.
Should we expect, I mean, obviously over winter we saw that you know, the crisis actually when the Albanese government was first elected. Should we expect big pressure on the energy system at the height of summer? Obviously, air conditioning is a big key issue and there is a big drain on electricity and demand around that time. What are expectations around the kind of summer we're going to see?
I think the market operator has, again, been looking very carefully at what the summer outlook is, which is obviously affected by very much by the weather and how that plays out. I think we feel confident that we have the tools in place to manage the demands of the system and that we're, you know, making tweaks in order to ensure that if unexpected circumstances do arise, so if there are emergencies, then we're better placed than we were in June to manage any situations like that. So one of the reforms that the Australian Energy Market Commission has announced today is a proposed increase to the administered price cap, which is something that only applies in an emergency. So it's only applied 3 times in the last 24 years, but one of those times was in June. And what we found was that cap had not been increased for 14 years and so didn't do the job that it was intended to do, which was to stabilise the market in an emergency. And so we're looking at making a change there, which again would give more tools to make sure that if something like that did happen again, not saying that it will, but we just want to be prepared. We're in the best position to ensure that we've got a reliable supply at the lowest possible cost.
Thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
And that is Anna Collier. She's the chair of the Energy Security Board.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.